Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We each may have different municipal utilities or private wells, but we all have and probably take for granted our immediate access to water. Such things as boil orders or power outages may affect our immediate access to water in some way for a limited time, but generally we have access to the water that we need in order to support our bodies and lives. Necessary water is a focus of the gospel reading for the third Sunday in Lent. And Jesus and a woman from Samaria's discussion about living water, water flowing from its source, leads to their discussion about true worshipers. And so today, as we consider primarily today's gospel reading, we direct our thoughts to the theme, living water and true worshipers. As we heard in today's gospel reading, wearied from his journey, Jesus told a woman from Samaria to give him a drink of water from Jacob's well. And soon after, the woman from Samaria told Jesus to give her living water so that she would not be thirsty or have to come to the well to draw water. At first, seemingly oddly, Jesus then told the woman to go call her husband and come here. Not so much there to the well, but there to Jesus, the source of living water. The woman's answer to Jesus and his then revealing his knowledge of her sinful life led the woman to perceive that Jesus was a prophet, and so to ask him about where to worship, implicitly where God was present, in order for her to receive the forgiveness of sins. And ultimately, Jesus told her that true worshipers will worship God the Father by the power of God the Holy Spirit in the person of God the Son, who is the truth. As I studied today's gospel reading in preparing to preach this morning, I was reminded that in the Old Testament, wells were often locations for meetings that led to marriage. For example, Abraham's servant met Rebekah at a well, and Rebekah married Abraham's son, Isaac. Isaac's son, Jacob, met Rachel at a well, and Rachel eventually married Isaac. And generations later, Moses met Zipporah at a well, and Zipporah married Moses. Some commentators go so far as to think that the woman from Samaria viewed Jesus as a potential sexual or marital partner. Regardless, Jesus revealed some of what he knew about the woman's sinful past. And so apparently she perceived him to be a prophet, and asked him about where she could receive forgiveness for her sins. We might have a different reaction if we encountered someone who, as the woman from Samaria put it, told us all that we ever did. But wanting to receive forgiveness is certainly the right reaction. We do not have to have had 5 spouses in the past, or to have someone else's spouse right now in order to have sinned or sin against the 6th commandment in deed, word, or thought. We do rightly condemn as sinful society's inescapable homosexuality and gender confusion. But we must also condemn as sinful such things as all forms of pornography, are satisfying our sexual desires by ourselves, wearing other than modest clothes, crude talk, derogatory comments about other people's appearances, and any and all lustful thoughts. In some ways, we all sin against the sixth commandment, just as we all sin against the other nine commandments, for we all are sinful by nature. Like the woman from Samaria, on our own, we would not know the gift of God or who is offering living water, and we are hostile to them. Like the Samaritans and Jews, we would worship what we do not know. We deserve both temporal death and eternal punishment, apart from God the Father and God the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, seeking us out as true worshipers. God the Father and God the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, do seek us out as true worshipers. True worshipers who worship God the Father by the power of God the Holy Spirit in the person of God the Son, who is the truth. God the Son took into his own person our human nature. In today's gospel reading, for example, we see Jesus wearied from his journey in the noonday heat. And yet we know that Jesus is greater than the Samaritans and Jews' father, Jacob, who gave them the well and drank from it himself. For Jesus is the Christ, God in human flesh. On another day at noon, in the hour of Jesus' glorification on the cross, God's love for the world was shown in his giving his Son. And Jesus' spirit was handed over, and water flowed from Jesus' side. And as water flowed from the rock, which in some sense was the present Christ, to the thirsty people of Israel in today's Old Testament reading. As the divinely inspired St. Paul put it in today's epistle reading, God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The death that we deserved, he died for us in our place. As with the woman from Samaria, he appeals to us to believe, and justified or forgiven by faith, we have peace with God, and we rejoice in the sure and certain hope of the glory of God. People often wrongly think that Jesus in the gospel readings, speaking about worshiping God in spirit and truth, did away with worshiping God in a particular place and in an outward manner, as if Jesus was one of the 16th century's radical reformers. Rather, enabled by God to be true worshipers, we seek and receive the forgiveness of sins where God is present in his word, and that word combined with things like water and touch and bread and wine that are Christ's body and blood. Arguably, in holy baptism, we receive the living water that Jesus gives, and through that living water, we receive the Holy Spirit and also the life of the Spirit that becomes our inner reality. Our inner reality of faith in Christ and his obedience to the Father's will, to the goal of our eternal life. The divinely inspired St. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, similarly refers to our being baptized in one Spirit and our being made to drink of one Spirit. And in the chapters of St. John's Gospel account, both before and after today's Gospel reading, water is associated with wine, the birth from above by the Spirit, and the blood that flowed from Jesus' side. Just as St. John writes elsewhere of the Spirit, the water, and the blood all testifying and agreeing in their testimony. In today's gospel reading, the woman from Samaria heard Jesus for herself, and then she testified to the people of her town. Some of those people, in turn, came to believe by the Holy Spirit's working through her words. And then others of those people came to believe by the Holy Spirit's working through Jesus' own words. And they confessed that Jesus is the Savior of the world. God can similarly work through our words to those whom God places in our lives as we invite them to come and see. Truly, the living water that gives life flows from Jesus, not only to the Jews and the Samaritans, like the woman from Samaria and her town in the gospel reading, but the living water that gives life also flows from Jesus to all Gentiles, including us and those around us. So given life, as we heard in today's epistle reading, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us. That sure and certain hope includes our knowing that those who die before the Lord comes in glory will be resurrected in their bodies, and that believers will live eternally, glorified in God's presence, reunited with believing family and friends. Our immediate access to water through different municipal utilities or private wells may sometimes leave us with cloudy or brown water, but not so with living water and true worshipers. The pure living water comes from its holy source and makes us true worshipers holy, holy now and holy forever. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.